Remember one time, and I'm gonna have to. I got 6 points. I'm not gonna get to the other 3 years there. But I gotta tell this story. I remember one time, Will and I were real small, and we had gotten into an argument, and my daddy just happened to be at the house, and see my daddy, he didn't just whoop normally. You know how most normal parents, they go and just get a belt. Well, y'all young folks don't know that now, but yeah. Growing up, they would just get a little belt. Or they say, go get me a switch from that bush over there. I don't know where he got this stick from. But I remember that stick. And he took me and my brother down in the basement. And he whooped us real good. Real good. That's why I can remember it even to the day. But it was what he said afterwards that stuck with me. He says, boy, y'all brothers, I better never see you fight one another. Because you are both y'all are brothers. I better never see you fighting one another. And that stuck with me 50-something years ago. Why? Yeah, oh, the whooping. I remember the whooping too, but I remember those words. He says, because you are part of a family, and that family bears my name. Yeah, yeah. And if you are part of my blood and a part of my DNA, there is an expectation I have from you. If you own my name, if you own my name, you own my glory. And therefore, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, you reflect me. And he said, when I'm talking about family, God says, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, how you treat your brother or your sister, he says, you reflect me. So you need to celebrate me. But you can't celebrate me if you don't celebrate the family. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to pick up next week. Psalm 16. You don't have to stand. I won't read it again in your hearing, and we'll just kind of go on straight into it since I read it to you on last week. Amen. Psalm 16. And you know, last week, we was talking about positive biblical self-talk, and there's a reason why we did that. The reason why I wanted to go to the whole positive biblical self-talk, because as we get ready to go on to the body of this message, you need to understand why that was important. You know, we were talking about the whole issue, for those of you who may remember from last week, we talked about how before you can have real self-talk, some things have to be in place. We had talked about the issue of having surrendered sovereign talk, letting God talk to you, but then talked about how we have submitted Savior talk, letting Jesus walk with you and talk with you. But then we talked about having sanctifying spirit talk, in other words, hearing what the Spirit says unto you. And then we said you must have that saturated scripture talk. And so understand that all of that then comes down to what I call the sacred song talk. In In other words, letting the hymns, letting the songs of Zion be able to ring into your ears and into your heart, because that's how you are able to keep a lot of things by really putting into a song. Y'all know.
Yeah.
And because that's, you know, well, yeah, well, anyway. So then all that led down to what we call, you know, biblical, positive, biblical self-talk. And the reason why, you know, I wanted to kind of give you that 50,000-foot view of this passage, because this passage in Psalm 16, it really deals with having what I call security in life and death. Having security in life and death. One constant reality that we need to understand in life, y'all, is this, that life is uncertain. It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
Okay. As we adopted the term here, Zoe, life is lifing. And life knows how to life. And is real good with life. But the uncertainty and the unpredictability of life, understanding that at some point, there's one thing that is predictable. And that's death. And so in this psalm, Psalm 16, it's emphasizing that there's only one true source of security that we can have. In life and also in death. One security, one soul security. And it's not your mama, not your daddy, not your brother or your sister. It's not your money. It's not your position. It's not your people. There's only one security that we can have in both life and death. Y'all know what that is? Or do y'all want to know who that is? Because who that is God himself. And this psalm actually focuses on some things here, you know, and, you know, it's dangerous for a pastor to be able to go back and do some more research and on some stuff and then come back with a whole nother, you know, some more content. So I'm going to try not to get too happy and end up going 2 and 3 more Sundays on this thing. So I want to just talk to you, you know, about this whole concept of, you know, how to be secure. Because remember, I was going to name this at first, you know, and, you know how they ain't about a crisis, they ain't about a crisis, they ain't about a crisis. As I began to look more and more and began to pray more and more, Minister Mo, I'm like, nah, this ain't about a crisis. Because right now, Paul was not in the crisis right here. But there is some stuff going on. I mean, I'm sorry, David is not in the crisis right here, but there is some stuff going on in David's life. And there's some reflection that David is actually doing in his life at this point in time. But understanding that he is reflecting after God gave him the covenant so that he could be able to understand the covenant. So he began to reflect a little bit more, but it wasn't about a crisis. It was more about how to be secure in your walk. How can you be secure in your walk? Because your walk is going to consist of life and death. And I don't mean just physical life and physical death. Your life, your walk is going to consist of some times where there's going to be some up times. But then there's going to be some down times. There's going to be some what I call Zao time, times where you can be excited about and, you know, as you live every day and be in your daily life and be excited about, you know, what you're living and what you're doing. But then there's also some what we call thanatos time. That's Greek for, you know, death, but figurative death. Because, see, understand, some death can come on a daily basis, Sister Lucy. And actually, death should come on a daily basis. We should be dying daily to the flesh, but yet living daily to the spirit. And so when I looked at this, it's like understanding that as we are secure in our walk, understand that death is going to occur in our life, and it very well should occur in our life on a regular basis, because we're going to be dying to stuff on a regular basis, according to Paul. As we live unto the Spirit, and as we live unto the Lord on a regular basis. Amen? And so as we talk about this thing about, you know, how to be secure in life And that, understand, there are some things that I want to just kind of point out to you. But remember, the reason why we did the self-talk is because you got to be able to encourage yourself sometimes. Yeah. You got to, if ain't nobody else around you, there's somebody in you. And you got to be able to encourage yourself sometime if ain't nobody else there. Because life is lifing. And you have to understand your security in your walk. And understand, and as you're saying, your security in your walk, when you hit the high times, you're all right. When you hit the low times, you're still all right. Why? Because your security, your salvation, who you are, should be able to balance and stabilize you. Through the rough times. And also through the good times. Because see, through the good times, you can get a big head and thank you more than that. So it's a stabilizer. So as I was looking at this passage, you know, and as I was just contemplating how I was going to share this out with you, I want us to understand that, you know, how we need to be able to walk, you know, how to walk in our security. And so the first thing we need to understand is, and as we look at this passage, we have to see what David is doing here. And so when I look at verses 1 and 2, he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord." We talked about that on last week, right? Yeah. "And my goodness is nothing apart from you." So we talked about that, you know, and that's where we got the whole, you know, self-talk from. But let's dig into this a little bit more now, and let's see what he's actually saying here. So the first point is, if you want to walk, you know, secure, and you want to be able to walk in your security, understand there must be a confession of the faith. There must be a confession of the faith, not simply faith. The faith. There must be confession in who God is and what God can do. Look at this, y'all. I'm going to show you. But he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust." If we stop right there, so you ask, well, Pastor, where are you getting this from? That term preserve, it means to guard. It means to watch over. It means to protect. It's not the same word that we use to preserve as we're talking about being saved. In other words, like if you're in a, what they call them jars, them mason jars with the seals, it's not that right there. It's more of a sense of, I know I'm encountering some things that I cannot deal with. So my prayer, I need to confess, I need to have a confession of the faith, because if I don't have the confession of the faith, I can't ask God to do any of what I'm getting ready to tell y'all right now. So understand that everything from this point forward is based off of this one main point, confession of the faith. In other words, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can't use none of this. If you don't believe, if you have not accepted, I ain't talking about accept him as a good man, as a good prophet. I ain't talking about that. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ in your life as Lord and Savior, and accepted him as being the Son of God, who deliberately descended to be able to dwell with us, if you cannot accept him as that, then the rest of what I say today, you cannot even use. But the good news is you can use it if you accept him. So there's got to be a confession of the faith, because he says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you." See, when you get saved, you are now placed in him. Amen. If you're not saved, you're not in him. Right. So he says, "So in you I put my trust." Yeah. So he says, "Preserve me, guard, watch over me, protect me, O Elohim." Elohim, creator God, mighty God, powerful God. "For in you, O God, I put my trust." Now that word trust here, it means something else as well. It says it means to seek refuge, to flee for protection. So it's not a sense of trust in, you know, having faith. He said, no. In you, I am placing my security. I am fleeing to you. I can't go nowhere else. So I need you to protect me. I need you to guard me. I need you to watch over me, because it's in you that I am running to. Oh, you missed that. It's to you, God, that I'm going to seek refuge. I can't do this on my own. And so therefore, I need you to be able to run to when I need you. So David here confesses that he needs, this says, oh, my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. We talked about that already last week. He says, oh, my soul, he says, hey, Yahweh, I need you to be also Adonai.
Yeah.
In other words, the great I am who's always present, I need you to be now present with me on a relational and intimate basis as my master. Tell me what I need to do. See, but if there is no confession of the faith, then you can't have any of this. So right here, he's saying, preserve me. In other words, guard me, protect me, watch over me, because I need to run to you. Now, remember in Proverbs, it says this, that only the righteous can run to the name of the Lord. So how we are righteous, we are declared righteous. So we have the right, we have the privilege to be able to run and seek protection and seek refuge, because when life is kicking your behind and life does a good thing, and life is a pro at whooping your butt on a daily basis. And when life continues to kick you in the butt, and even kick you when you're down, David says, preserve me, O God, protect me, O God, guard me, O God, watch over me, O God, let me run to you. I need some protection. It didn't say, preserve me, O Obed, his grandfather. It didn't say, preserve me, O Jesse, his daddy. It didn't say, preserve me, O Reuben, his brother. It didn't say, preserve me, O Saul, the king. It says, preserve me, O God. Because he realized. And then he says, Elohim. He didn't say Yahweh right there. He didn't say Jehovah right there. He says, Elohim. Why do y'all think he said Elohim? I'm glad you asked that question, because here's why he said Elohim. Because Elohim means that I am the creator God and I am God over everything. See, that's why I like the names of God. Okay. So confession of the faith. Now, that's important as we get into the next point, because as you walk in your security, you're walking in your faith, you're walking in your relationship with God, right? You're walking with him. And so as you're walking in the faith, the second thing is we must understand that we must be connected with the family.
Yeah.
Oh, I ain't hear a whole lot of amen on that. Notice I didn't say our family. I said the family. Verse 3. Y'all gotta read how to say this. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. This is just a dramatic pause for y'all. See, he didn't say, as for the saints who are on the earth, I can't stand them. He didn't say, as for the saints that are on the earth, you know, they hurt me. Like, y'all don't want to hear this right here, huh? He didn't say, as for the saints, you know, who are on the earth, you know, they did me wrong. He said, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. But I need you to say, you need to be connected with the family. In other words, you need that salvation, because that salvation then calls you to be a part of the family, not just a family. Because, see, many times the family will treat you better than a family will treat you. Hmm. You have to realize, and when you get a chance, when you read, especially in the book of Psalms, the Lord always, the writer will always relate to the saints, and you see the term saints used over like 20-some times alone in the book of Psalms. Why? Because in the Old Testament, they were called saints. In the Old Testament, they were called anointed ones. In the Old Testament, they were called the called. Why? Because they were still a family that belonged to God. And so understand, he says, as for the saints. In other words, when life is life, and I need to connect with the family. Don't miss this. I got to connect with the family. Why? Because the family knows where I'm going. Because the family is connected to who I'm connected to. And when I get with the family, I can get some encouragement from the family. When I get with the family, I can get some help from the family. When I get with the family, I can be lifted from the family. When I get with it, they can hold me accountable. But when I get with the family and praise goes forward and praise goes up, then the Spirit can come down even more so and inhabit our praise. And as our praise is being inhabited, we're being healed because we are with the family. He says, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones. Now, that term excellent simply means this. They are of noble character and worthy conduct. See, when you are a saint, you have noble character. You have nobility in the eyes of God. And if you understood that nobility in the eyes of God, then you would carry yourself in a certain way where you'd be worthy of the conduct. So just, and as a matter of fact, everybody who calls themselves a saint ain't. You have some ain'ts, you have some saints.
Yeah.
And there are some who call themselves saints that are actually ain'ts. He ain't tell you to connect with them. Connect with the saints.
Yeah.
Now, there's a couple of passages of scripture I want to really go to. I'm looking at Psalm 34 and verse 9 really quickly here, and then Psalm 31 I'm going to go to, and I'm going to jump back over here. Because like I said, in the book of Psalm, there's a lot of different things like as he refers to just the saints. And then like Psalm 34 and verse 9, he says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord, his saints, shall not lack any good thing." There's some reward in being in the family. You know, I'm just saying that there's some reward to being in the family. And, you know, even in Psalm 37, verse 28, I had to write that down because I thought that was interesting. It says, "For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints." Whoa. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. "They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off." He says that the saints are preserved forever, and the Lord does not forsake his saints. You got to be a part of the family. You got to be connected with the family. Because when you're connected with the family, then you're connected with the Father. And when you connect with the family, then you can come to the family. And if the family is the family, the family will know how to encourage you. The family will know how to lift you up. The family will know how to hold you accountable. The family will bring you in and embrace you. The family will fellowship with you. Amen. He says, as for the saints who are on the earth. So we got to be connected with the saints. But then he says, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. So not only should we be connected with the family, but y'all, we need to also celebrate the family. I ain't hear no amens on that one, Brother Will. I thought that was a good one. Maybe it wasn't a good one. We got to celebrate the family. Okay. I was watching Facebook after 7 o'clock. And there was a little reel on there, and there was these brothers. I guess they're on the same team. They're twin brothers. They was playing basketball, and so I guess the one brother went to go up for a layup and got a real hard foul from the other team. And before they knew it, the twin brother who was on the on the bench, had jumped off the bench and was going in to get ready to jump on dude who had, you know, given his other twin brother a hard foul, who was playing, right? And the whole team had to hold the other twin back. See, we need family members like that. It's the family. They can celebrate. We can celebrate each other, but we can also protect each other in the family. And to realize that, to understand that as we celebrate each other in the family, that you can't say any bad thing about the family, because I'm in the family and I'm going to hold you accountable for what you say about the family that I'm a part of. But most of us, Brother Will, we just going to just get away with what they want to say. We don't celebrate each other. See, that's why many of us walk weak and walk defeated, because when we come to the very end, the very place that we need encouragement, that we can get encouragement, that we can be built up, that's the very place that literally tear us down. And he says, my delight. This family is my delight. I delight in the worship. I delight in the fellowship. Amen. And here's why, because as you're trying to walk in your security, understand that you must have that confession of the faith. You must be able to have that connection with the family. You need the connection. And there's many more scriptures, you know, and even with the celebration of the family. Let me go a couple of places, and then I'm gonna come back to this, because when we talk about being connected and celebrating the family, listen to what Paul says in Ephesians. He says this. Wrong one. Here we go. He says in Ephesians, just get y'all know, Ephesians 2nd chapter, 19th verse. He says this. He says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You ought to celebrate that, because you are in the household of God. That's a time to celebrate. You are in the household of God. He says, even in further in chapter 3, he says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That, if nothing else, that's a point of celebration, because we are named in the name of God the Father. Because of our name, y'all know the Hargrove, we celebrate our name. Whether you like it or not, we celebrate our name. And I'm going to celebrate the name Hargrove because I know what's behind the name. And I'm going to celebrate that name, because even though it's my earthly name, I celebrate that name because I'm proud of that name, because who that name is connected with. See, what would happen is we tend to get so, we get blindsided, and we get so short-sighted. So when one person do us wrong in the church, then all of a sudden all the church is bad. And so therefore we lose focus as who the church is named after. And understand that at the end of the day, that it's not the whole church that gives you church hurt, but you alone can hurt the church. We need to understand that it's about the family. Yeah, I understand that people get hurt in the church, but don't take that to the point where you now spread venom all in the community, venom all in the city, and therefore now all of a sudden the church name is a bad name in the city, because now the church can't do kingdom work, because you have decided not to celebrate, not to be connected with, but to destroy the name. David says, this is my delight. Now, do I have some issues sometimes with family? Yeah! But that's what family is all about. But it's my delight because of whose name that I bear. See, we bear the name of Jesus Christ. We bear the name of the God of the universe. We bear his name. And we should celebrate his name. Because see, in other words, you can't celebrate him if you don't celebrate the family. Okay, I'm gonna say that one more time. See, you can't celebrate God without celebrating his family. So just so you understand, don't be fooled by these folk that tell you they can do what they want to do separate from the church. And that they can have church at home by themselves. Because God has not called us to that kind of ministry. He called us to the the Bedside Baptist. No, what's the other? It's a whole other. It's something I can't think of right now. You know, but they call it Bedside Baptist. You know, Pentecostal pillow and all that. You know, all that good stuff. You know, he haven't called us that. He haven't called us that because he's called us to the family. Because God is about family. And David here said that my delight is in the family because my delight is in the Father. And I want to delight my Father. So therefore, in order for me to delight my Father and delight in my Father, I must delight in the family. I remember one time, and I got 6 points. I'm not going to get to the other 3 years yet. But I got to tell this story. I remember one time, Will and I were real small, and we had gotten into an argument, and my daddy just happened to be at the house. And see, my daddy, he didn't just whoop normally. You know how most normal parents, they go and just get a belt. Well, y'all young folks don't know that now, but yeah. Growing up, they would just get a little belt. Or they say, go get me a switch from that bush over there. I don't know where he got this stick from. But I remember that stick. And he took me and my brother down in the basement. And he whooped us real good. Real good. That's why I can remember it even to the day. But it was what he said afterwards that stuck with me. He says, boy, y'all brothers, I better never see you fight one another. Because you are both y'all are brothers. I better never see you fighting one another. And that stuck with me 50-something years ago. Why? Yeah, the whooping. I remember the whooping too, but I remember those words. He says, because you are part of a family, and that family bears my name. Yeah, yeah. And if you are part of my blood and a part of my DNA, there is an expectation I have from you. If you own my name, you own my glory. And therefore, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, you reflect me. And he says, when I'm talking about family, God says, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you say, how you treat your brother or your sister, he says, you reflect me. So you need to celebrate me. But you can't celebrate me if you don't celebrate the family. We're going to leave it right there. We're going to pick up next week. And here's why, y'all, because I need y'all to get this and understand this. This life, you know, and I keep going back, life is getting rough. And it's hard. And if we can't turn into each other, to be celebrated, to be connected, but even and to be held accountable. Then where are you gonna go? David says, as for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. He says, I need to connect with the family. I need to celebrate the family as I confess the faith. But that's how we're going to understand how to deal with what life throws at us. Yes. The faith and the family. Yes. We'll talk about the foolish, the father, and the future next week. Yes.